Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
A great time to transition to our next guest and repeat that 45-second thank you, because I'm sure Steve Kirk could use a little pick-me-up, Mark.
Well, he is brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all your devices, and presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Steve, thanks for coming on. I don't even know if you would take what we just said kindly, because I know you think there's still a lot of meat on this bone, but that kind of was my first thought last night, was just thankfulness to the whole organization for everything that this has been as it goes into some sort of an evolution. How do you feel about that? What is the next evolution of this?
I don't think we really know. I think a really interesting and difficult season in a lot of ways. But you have to put it in the context of, where the league is right now, too. And normally, 46 wins is enough to get you in the playoffs. I would say that given the start we got off to, how many games we sort of gave away or lost at the end when we, should have put it away. I mean, this felt like a 50-win team to me. And, it feels to me like we should be down 1-0 in a series right now, not having the season finished, if you know what I mean. It's really kind of surprising to me that it's over, but the nature of the Western Conference right now, it's deep and loaded, and we paid for our sins of the early season, unfortunately, and ended up in the play-in and one and done. It's a tough way to go out.
Is that where your personal lament lies in terms of the, not regrets, but things that you think went awry? Is it all the close games that got away from you early? Is it the Draymond suspension and maybe the injuries that you sustained later in the year? Where do you look to find some solace on what might go right in the future that didn't this year?
Well, a lot of good things happened. Clay really responded well to coming off the bench. Draymond, I thought, his career was on the line 2 months into the season, and the way he played, the way he responded the last few months was incredible. Our young guys really came alive, performed well. And, Steph, despite, not shooting it as well, in the last month or so of the season, he had another All-NBA year. And, you throw it all together, and we actually have a pretty good team. There's some regret on losing some early games that put us behind the eight ball that we kind of paid for later. And when you have those types of games, and you look back on them later in the year, it's that's tough, because you probably could have finished them off, should have finished them off, and we didn't do it.
Steve, it's interesting to hear you talk about the landscape of the West, because I'm driving my 10-year-old son to school this morning, and he looks at me and goes, "Dad, they were just unlucky." And I said, why do you feel that way? And he goes, because 46 wins, he's like, last year that would have been like a 4 or a 5 seed. So like they just got unlucky. What would you have said to him? What word fits for you with regard to that?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. I mean, I think first of all, your son has a lot of wisdom. So
I didn't say that to him, Steve. I did not say that.
Clearly got it from his mom.
So yeah, yeah.
No, I just think that you know, there's some truth to that. I mean, this is the deepest the Western Conference has ever been. You know, the bad news for us, it's only going to get deeper. You know, Houston and San Antonio are going to get better as we go into next year. So I think this, you know, we've got an off season of reflection and transition. But that doesn't mean this thing is over, you know, and that's why, like, I love that you're thankful for what we've done, but I, you know, that's great. But I still think we can do some stuff and you know, but this off season is going to be different. It's the first time I think that I've really felt, like there needs to be, you know, some change, but, I don't know what it is. You know, I don't know, you know, I don't know that Mike knows yet. What we do have, though, is a lot of evidence and a lot of clarity on this year's team and some of the things we lacked and some of the things we need to improve upon.
You mentioned change, and everybody's curious about Klay Thompson, and you were pretty definitive last night about how much you need and want Klay to still be a part of it. Are you at all nervous about Klay perhaps deciding to take his talents elsewhere?
I'm really not, and of course he has every right to do so. And one of the benefits of being a free agent is just the freedom that comes with it. And it'll be nice for Klay to have some options. And I think that's one of the things that freed him up a little bit at the end of the year. It's just, you know, not having the burden of anything going forward. Just, hey, play it out and let's see what happens this summer. And so he's in a good spot in that regard. But I know Klay really well. I know he loves it here. I know how much we all love him. I think he should be a Warrior for life, and I just think that he's still got some good years left in him. And you know, but what we have to figure out organizationally is you know, what does that look like on the floor? You know, the business stuff will be taken care of. You know, that stuff will be negotiated, all that stuff, but you know, what does our team look like next year? We have to put the pieces together, because I think Klay's a part of it, and I think Draymond and Steph, I think they should be Warriors for life, and that's not just a sentimental thought. We still need all three guys. They're all three still very good players, but it's just different now than it was, you know, 3-4 years ago. So we have to piece together the roster and see how we can improve.
Steve Kerr with us, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Steve, I don't want you to speak for him, but you've all expressed that you want him back. Has he expressed to you anything about what he wants?
Well, we had our exit meetings today, so I spoke with all the players, and it's really, it's so early. You know, it's the shock of the loss and the season being over is still pretty raw, so it just doesn't feel like anybody is ready to, you know, even express any thoughts about what, you know, what comes next. So I encouraged everybody to get away and get some rest and take a vacation and you know, a little time to think about the season and the future.
You've spent your whole time here with Steph, Klay, and Dre, and it's been...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An unbelievable run, as Mark was saying at the top of the interview. Have we gotten to a point where having those three as your best three players is no longer good enough in the West?
I think that all three guys are really still excellent players. We know that. I mean, you know, Steph is still an all-star. Draymond, you know, still one of the best defensive players in the league. And Clay, I mean, you guys watched the second half of the season. He was one of the best three-point shooters in the league. The first half, he struggled. But, you know, it's a guy who's still got a beautiful stroke and, you know, 6'7" and, you know, size and fearlessness when it counts, when the game's on the line, and that stuff's all necessary. But, you know, we've always had a lot of help for them in the past. We've always had great rosters, great talent here. And so that still remains, but it's even more important now because, you know, they're not as capable of doing it every single night just because of the wear and tear and the age. So we've got to keep improving the roster around them for sure.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Like when you said last night, we need Clay going forward, the first thought that went through my head was in what role? And that's not in any way meaning to diminish him, but even you, and I mean this for all three, you've talked about too much being on the shoulders of Steph Curry in recent weeks and maybe even in recent years. So how do you view that, Steve, in terms of what their role needs to be going forward if they're all here?
Well, I think we can't expect them to carry us like they have for so long. So we've got to lessen the burden. I think one of the best things that happened this year for Clay and for us was that he responded so well coming off the bench. So, you know, that's definitely an option. And, you know, that will be determined, obviously, next training camp. But, you know, I just think that you know, 82 games is a long haul. And unless you've actually been through it, I think it's hard to really understand how difficult it is emotionally, physically, and especially as you get older. So we definitely need to give these guys more support and more help. And I thought the young guys really emerged this year, and I expect them to be better next year. And, you know, we'll see what we can do with the roster to make some more improvements.
You mentioned effort and commitment being there for the majority of the year, but what specifically were you missing this year that you'll look to address in the off season?
I think we need more shooting. You know, our shooting is really top heavy. It's funny because we've always been known as this 2-point shooting organization, but you know, we've always been kind of top heavy on that front. And if you look around the league, you know, most teams now are putting shooting at almost every spot. And you watched last night the physicality of Sacramento's guards and, you know, the speed getting into the ball, disrupting our offense. The best way to create space is to put shooting all over the floor. And Sacramento was able to put pressure on the ball and protect the paint. And so there was nowhere for Steph to go. He, you know, he really had to work hard for his points. And so I think we need more shooting. And I think that can come from within too. It can come from, you know, the current players getting better with their shooting and giving us more spacing.
Steve, you know, you've talked this year about math. You've talked about it being a good problem to have. All of the players who deserve rotation minutes. Moses Moody last night, he used the word frustrating when describing the fluctuation of his role. Did you guys reach a point where all of the guys deserving minutes and you trying to figure out the right mix actually became maybe a net negative as opposed to a positive?
No, it never became a net negative. It was frustrating for a lot of guys, but every single one of them responded well, and in a very team oriented fashion. And so I think Moses is he was probably the guy who went in and out of the rotation the most. Some of that was just the logjam in front of him, you know, between JK and Wiggs and Clay and Harry Payton. You know, we had a lot of guys who were just in front of Moses, and so it's not easy to, I mean, as a coach, you can't play all those guys. And so Moses took the brunt of that and handled it really well. But he's a guy who needs his opportunity to really, you know, step forward and become an everyday contributor, maybe even a starter. And that, you know, that opportunity, part of that comes from our side, but part of it comes from his side too. Emerging and grasping that role and running with it, you know, and like Brandon Podemski did this year. And, you know, and that requires a lot. It requires, attention to detail, and it requires, you know, moving the ball, becoming a connector offensively, keeping things going with the right cut, the right pass. And those are things that most young players struggle with. But Brandon has a good feel for it, and that's why he played as much as he did. So, you know, there's a lot of young players are having to work on those things all around the league just because of the lack of experience coming in, and that's what we're trying to teach our young guys here in our program.
Jonathan Kuminga made such great strides this year in offensive acumen and really off-ball defense as well. When you look at his game now, as part of maybe his exit interview today, what are you giving him for homework over the summer so he can be even better next year?
Well, I want him to become a more fundamentally sound passer, and that may not sound like much, but I think he's got pretty good vision. You know, he's a guy who can get the ball in transition, push it ahead, and see the floor pretty well. But like a lot of young players, there can be a carelessness with passing and a kind of a take it for granted type feeling about passing. You might not believe this, but when I was in Chicago with the Bulls, we used to start out practice 15 feet apart with two-hand chest passes back and forth. You know, you see Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen throwing two-hand chest passes back and forth. That's when you realize, okay, fundamentals do matter, you know. And we've had one of the worst transition ratings in the league the last 2 years in terms of points per possession. And some of it is our passing. Our passing has to improve. We've got to be on time, on target. We've got to make the game easier for each other. So for Jonathan, for Moses, for our entire team, I want to see better passing, and those are some of the things we'll be focusing on this summer.
Steve Kerr with us, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. This might be a stupid one, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it. Do you guys need to be taller?
I mean, you know, last night you could see we were overwhelmed physically. They were getting every long rebound, every loose ball. That's where we really missed Gary yesterday. He's a guy who gets a lot of extra possessions for us. There are times, and some of it is, you know, when we're playing our best players, we tend to be on the small side. And So, you know, it's a tough combination when you know, if you're getting beat athletically and with size, you know, you got to be perfect to win games. And so I do think we need to be a little bigger, a little more athletic.
Does this mean that the Chris Paul era is coming to a close? And before you answer that part of it, what did you think about his 1 year with the Dubs and what he brought, especially when you're looking at, you know, $30 million for next year and in a situation where he may not be back?
Well, first of all, I love Chris. He was amazing all year, just the ultimate professional. The way he embraced coming off the bench, and you know, for a guy who's he's heading for the Hall of Fame, he's one of the all-time great point guards, and he had never come off the bench once in his entire career. So to embrace that, to be a mentor for our younger guys, to generate great chemistry in the locker room, Chris was amazing. And I've said this many times, this was the easiest job I've ever had in the non-Steph minutes. You know, in my 9 years, even when we were winning championships, there was always a feeling of, all right, we got to hang on here, you know, without Steph. And with Chris, it was the exact opposite. It was like, all right, we're going to get 8 minutes, 9 minutes with Steph on the bench. We're going to have a Hall of Fame point guard getting us organized and getting us good shots. What an incredible luxury. Now, the issue for Chris, I think he's still a starting point guard in the league. I think he can still play 30-plus minutes and run his own team. And, you know, on this team, on our team, that's just not available. I know he loved it here, and we loved having him, and I think we would love to have him back, and I think he'd like to be back. But, you know, there's a financial component, of course, with his salary, non-guaranteed contract. So that means there is financial flexibility, you know, available there. And that's what Mike and Joe in the front office has to determine is, you know, what's our roster going to look like. And, you know, I don't think it makes sense to have a massive payroll right now with our team. It just doesn't, you know, to spend that kind of money. And Joe has been incredibly generous and you know, so aggressive and, you know, really attacking, looking for championships. But at some point, you can't spend this much money for a team that didn't make the playoffs. So we have a lot of decisions to make and a lot of questions to answer. And so, you know, those things are all kind of thrown into the pot and you have to figure it out.
Steve, that's an interesting one to say that it doesn't make sense right now to have a huge payroll. I get that you're saying looking back, it wasn't even a playoff team. But if the goal next year and the belief is there that you can still play at a high level, why does it not make sense to have a big payroll?
I didn't say it doesn't make sense to have a big payroll. I said it doesn't make sense to have a massive payroll.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I think there's a difference. You know, I think Joe is always going to do everything possible to put a good team on the floor. But I think at some point too, there has to be a sense of, you know, what makes sense organizationally. And a $400 million payroll, the highest payroll in the league, and we don't make the playoffs, that's not a good business model, you know. And so the all the questions that are out there really have to do with, you know, what's next, not just this coming year, but in the years beyond. And what does that mean for our team? What kind of transition will there be? Are there moves that we can make to get us into the championship contention conversation? And if there are not, then, you know, what does that mean? Do we lean into our younger guys? And you know, so these are all the discussions that we'll be having this summer.
Steve, it's fascinating to listen to the way things sounded at the end of last year when you guys immediately sort of admitted, yeah, this was not a championship a roster. And then this year, you guys sound very different. And you've admitted that you think you're better this year and that you loved the connectivity of this roster. So that leads me to this question. As you sit here today, how far off from a championship contender do you feel like you guys are?
It would be hard for me sitting here with our season over on April 17th, whatever it is, to tell you that we are a championship contender. That would be, I don't know, let's just say not the brightest comment I could ever make. You know, I mean, you have to prove that. You can't just say you're a contender. You have to prove it. So, you know, right now we're not, but that's why we have an off season. That's why you talk to other teams. That's why you look at every possibility to build your roster back up. And you're always, every year, I'm always surprised at the deals that happen, not for our team, but for any team. You just don't know. So you have to go into the summer with an open mind and who knows? There might be some deal that Mike and Joe feel like, you know, gets us back into contention. Maybe there isn't. If there's not, then, you know, what are we looking at? What's the goal? What are we trying to accomplish? These are not easily answered questions. And so there's a long summer ahead of a lot of introspection, a lot of studying the league and studying our options and figuring things out.
You've got a busy summer yourself, heading to Paris with Team USA at some point. But before then, and maybe during that time and after, how much input will you offer or will you be asked to offer about that very thing in terms of getting this team back to championship caliber?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Mike already. We had a long conversation today about this summer and what's next. And I'm sure Joe and Mike and I will be connecting probably next week sometime. You know, we get together at the end of every off season, and these discussions will begin. We have a format with the Warriors where, you know, I'm not in charge of personnel and I don't want to be. I don't think it's a great format to have coach in charge of personnel. So I have influence, but these are Mike's decisions. These are Joe's decisions, you know, the front office together, but they will definitely ask for my input.
Steve Kerr with us, 95.7 The Game. Coach, this is not going to surprise you. I know you know. On our station, we have sat here and talked to listener after listener about Draymond Green and the experience that, especially a year, like you said a few minutes ago, you thought a couple of minutes ago that his career was on the line. You also mentioned that you thought this was a 50-win team. What would you say to fans that are so frustrated? Because he said at the beginning of the year, this is the most important season of his career. You guys maybe just needed 3, 4, 5 more wins to have a very different outlook. And then what happened in December and January happened. What would you say to fans that are just, they don't know how to reason with that?
Well, I think life's not easy. You know, it's, none of us are perfect. Everybody's flawed. And what I will tell you about Draymond is he's maybe the most competitive person I've ever been around, maybe the most loyal. I will stick with him forever because I know who he is as a human being. And he's very complex. And part of that complexity is his constant quest to find the right balance between being ultra competitive and, you know, walking the line and not crossing it. And he crossed it, you know, over the last year. He crossed it several times. And if he could have it back, you better believe he would want to have it back and do it. But life doesn't work that way. And so, you know, everyone was upset when he got flipped out of the game in Orlando. That didn't even bother me. Like, Draymond is so competitive and so emotional. I'm fine if he gets tossed a few times a year because that's the price you pay for having the guy who is the driver of your defense, the driver of your competitive fire as a team. Without Draymond, we have zero championships. I hope people realize that. But with Draymond, you've got a complex human being who is incredibly strong and loyal and emotional and competitive and also can go too far. And so that package is what we've had here for 12 years, and it's been incredible. And he's made mistakes, and he's had to pay for them, and he's constantly trying to find that balance, and that's who he is. And that's one of the things I love about him. But so for our fans, I would say be lucky, be fortunate, be grateful that you've had Draymond Green for 12 years and you have four championships and two finals appearances beyond that. And Draymond is fighting to be the best version of himself now. And that's, I'm embracing it. I think our whole organization is embracing it because we love him. And I think our fans do too.
You're right, Steve, but I do think that there's a fan sentiment of frustration in the Orlando game kind of crystallizes that, where he's ejected in the opening minutes of a game that it felt like was an important one. Do you have any concern about his career going forward and the frustration level building as his skills diminish?
I had a lot of concerns during the suspension, after the Nurkic incident, after the Gobert incident. I had a lot of concerns because those were acts that were going to lead him to being, basically to his career ending. And I think the suspension was probably the best thing that happened to Draymond, because it forced him to reckon with his behavior and the difference between getting kicked out of a game and actually physically attacking someone. So that's why I'm saying, we've been together for 10 years. He's been kicked out of tons of games. That never bothered me. The other stuff bothered me and bothered a lot of people. He found his way through the second half of the season to be the best version of himself. Got kicked out of a game, yeah, but he also turned our defense around. And if you're a fan and you want everything, you want him to be the best defender in the league and be on perfect behavior, you're not going to get it.
Fair enough. Steve, you entered into the conversation with us talking about thankfulness for the last 12 years. I'd like to express some thankfulness for the time that you've taken with us this year. The answers that you've given, the inside look that you've provided to yourself and to Warrior Basketball. We very, very much enjoyed it. So thank you for coming on as you did every week. Thank you for the half hour you just spent with us today.
Thank you guys for a great year. I've enjoyed coming on with you every week, and we're so lucky to play here in the Bay with incredible fans and so much interest in our team. And so I want to say thanks to you guys for a great show and to all of our fans out there for supporting us year after year. I'm lucky to be here.
Thank you, Steve. Well said. And on behalf of the fans thinking about the Olympics, feel free to keep Steph on the bench and give the chef some rest if you could.
All right, we'll see about that. We kind of want to win a gold medal.
Yeah, there is that.
Okay. Oh, that too. That too. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Coach. Thank you.
Okay. See you guys.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. There he is. Steve Kerr on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.